Last week we looked at the first half of chapter 15, and chapter 15 is an awesome chapter. The whole picture that Jeff painted for us that is there of Jesus being the vine and us being the branches and our abiding in Christ, our remaining in Him, this connection. And I will never forget a light bulb with a tree in it. That was an amazing miracle that we saw last week, of a light bulb with the tree. But the picture of bearing fruit because we are connected to Jesus Christ is an amazing relationship that God has offered us. And as Matt pointed out, no thanks, I don't. Is that for me? No, I'm good. I got light. Thank you, Wes. It's an amazing relationship of how God wants to bear fruit through us. And as Matt pointed out, we're coming to the final hours of Jesus' interaction with His disciples before the cross. And what He's saying is really, really important. Everything He says is really, really important. But I think a lot of us understand, or we would connect with this idea, that if you're talking with someone and they're on their deathbed, they know they're going to die, you probably want to really pay attention to what they say. If they recognize that their time is short, it just causes us to kind of think differently. And we begin to process through the shortness of time and the urgency of whatever it is that is on our heart. And in chapters 13 through about 17, that's what we have. John's the only one of the four Gospels that gives us this extended look into this personal moment with Jesus and His disciples. And we have the words of Jesus coming from His heart, knowing that His time is short, and He wants to prepare, He wants to equip these disciples so that they're ready. They're ready to do what their task is, to fulfill their purpose. And as we come to chapter 15, the second half, verse 18 is where we'll pick it up this morning. As Matt pointed out, Jesus wants to make sure they understand that this life that they have already embarked on and they will continue is in fact going to be a life of service and sacrifice. Now we saw in chapter 13 Him washing their feet, and there's other things that we've seen Him do and heard Him say that has conveyed this idea of what it means to follow Jesus. It is going to require service and sacrifice on my part to be His follower. Well, in the verses before us this morning, He wants to make sure they clearly understand what it's going to look like, what's coming, and He wants them to be ready. He wants them to be prepared. Listen to what Luke records for us in chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life," you want to hang on to it, keep it for your own, use it to your own end, reality is you're going to end up losing it. You're going to hang on to it, and you call the shots in your life. He says anyone who does that will end up losing their life. They will waste their life. They will come to the end of their life on their deathbed, say, "I blew it. I waste the things that I gave myself to, the things that I worked for, they don't seem so important now. And I'm afraid I've just wasted my life." Jesus tells us up front that if you hang on to your life, if you try to save your life for yourself, you will lose it. But whoever loses his life, gives his life up for Me will save it. And a very famous statement that many of us have heard in verse 25, "What good is it for a man, a woman, a young person? What good is it for a person to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Years ago, I read an interview of J.P. Morgan, J. Paul Getty. Morgan is the one that started the bank that I bank at. J. Paul Getty, who was just an incredibly wealthy man. And in an interview, a reporter asked him, he says, he was worth billions at the time, and he says, "How much is enough?" And this billionaire, who had everything that you can possibly imagine, said, "Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more." Why? Because Jesus reveals that that pursuit of our life, or giving our life to that pursuit, is going to end up wasting away. It's not going to fulfill. You're going to lose it. And so here in our text, as we're going through the Gospel of John, Jesus wants to really clarify this principle with His followers. And He says this in verse 18. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you, something I said to you before, and he's taking him back to that place. No servant is greater than his master. Remember him saying that? Be honest. If you don't, say, no, I don't. You can go back, and I wasn't going to tell him where, but Matt gave you the clue. John chapter 13, you can go back there. He had, in fact, said this before. If they persecuted me, Jesus says, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching Jesus, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not now be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Now, this is kind of a bummer, this whole text this morning, so stay with me. This is probably not what you came and sat down to hear this morning, but take this seriously because this is Jesus speaking. And he's telling those who have chosen to follow him exactly what this life is going to look like. And there's just two things that I want us to consider this morning. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Walk the walk and talk the talk. To follow Jesus will be a life of service and sacrifice. It will be a life of sacrifice and service. Now, I'm not making that up, and I'm not trying to paint a new picture of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be part of church and go to church and be religious. I'm just taking our attention. I'm hoping that we can take our attention, our hearts, and go back to Jesus. Because if it isn't about Jesus, then what are we doing here? What is all this? What this thing that we call church and the activity and the giving of our money and our time and all the stuff that we wrap into this ball we call church or we call religion. If it's not about Jesus, then friends, we've completely missed the point. And it's empty. And it's worthless. So we have to come back to Jesus. We have to come back to his words and his life. And his words in this part of John is this. Guys, if you follow me, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough. And I'm asking you to sacrifice, and I'm asking you to serve. It's going to be a life of sacrifice and a life of service. What is the sacrifice? We have to walk the walk. What is the service? We have to talk the talk. It's that simple. I won't let you go quite yet, although you could, but that's the essence of his message here to his disciples. It's going to be a life of sacrifice, and it's going to be a life of service. And the sacrifice that he asks of us is to walk the walk. Now, what is that walk? I wrote down a couple of thoughts because I want to make sure we capture what he's saying here. He uses the word hate 7 times. That's a strong word, isn't it? Which should be. You should consider that a strong word. If your teenager who's 14 says to you they hate you, take it with a grain of salt because every 14-year-old hates the world at some point. But we should always take it seriously when someone says, I hate you. That is a strong, strong emotion. And he intentionally uses this word over and over and over. And in its original meaning, the Greek that is used here, the word that Jesus used, it describes the idea that you are pursuing somebody, you're going after somebody. You know what I thought of this week as I was studying? I thought of road rage. Have you ever experienced road rage? I'll ask. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been guilty of road rage? Have you ever been the victim of road rage? The thing that's scary about road rage is that somebody is after you. You know, it's one thing to go, yell out the window, or they tell you that you're number one. They have this way of just, pointing out that kind of thing, and they give you a gesture or a word, and it's kind of like, and you just drive on. But when they chase you, when they follow you, or God forbid that you're so angry that you're going after somebody, that's the picture here. This is not benign. This is not neutral. This is not just a feeling that somebody has. He says, in this world, you will be hated. They will pursue you. But There's a reason why that's going to happen. It's because you belong to me. He gives us the reason why when we choose to follow him, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he explains why we're going to be persecuted. Now, if you're being persecuted because you're a jerk, and I love you to death, but if you're being persecuted because you're a jerk, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Again, don't raise your hand, but sometimes we can be kind of jerky-ish. Beef jerky-ish, turkey jerky. We can be kind of a hard to get along with person, and then people don't like us and they persecute us for that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the follower of Christ, the one who chooses to put their faith in Jesus Christ. The world will hate you, and he says the reason the world will hate you is because you no longer belong to the world. You belong to me. If you belong to them, he said, if you went along with their way of life, if you shared their values and their priorities, they would love you. And that's true of all of us, right? We love the people that think like us. We love the people that have the same priorities and the same interests as we do. I love 49er football fans. I hate, don't worry, Mike, Raiders fans. I don't hate them. I don't. But you know what? I love to get together with people that love the 49ers. I love talking with my son. He knows a lot more about them than I do. And I love just talking about Frank Gore and who's the receiver that wouldn't sign and then we sign? Crabtree, great name. And, you know, I love talking about that stuff, and it's exciting. My wife took me to a game this year. First time in my life, I went, and it was so exciting to cheer with, you know, 50,000 other people, and you're high-fiving the person next to you that you've never met before, and yeah, and you're all excited when your team does something good. Who are these people? Oh, we share a passion for the 49ers. And all of us have some of that in us. Jesus says, when I chose you and you put your faith in me and you became my follower, you no longer fit in to that crowd. You no longer share the same priorities and the same values. Your speech is likely should change. The things that you dream about, the things that you want, the things that you pursue are now going to cause you to be different. And so walking the walk is that we're willing to do this. We walk in confidence of who we are. Who am I? I'm Kurt Pearson. I'm a sinful man. I struggled this week. I struggled last week with sin. I'm a human being. I'm a grandfather. I'm a middle-aged guy living in Fair Oaks, California. All those things are a part of me. But you know what most importantly about who I am is? That because of what Christ has done for me on the cross, I belong to him. I belong to him. And he chose me out of this world system. He pulled me out of the system in which I was a part of. I'm still here. When we come to John 17, Pastor Matt will take us through that chapter. And Jesus says, I don't pray that you remove them from the world. I pray that you protect them while they're in the world. But you walk in confidence of knowing who you are. Please, again, don't respond outwardly, but I think many of us have been guilty. We struggle with just walking confidently in this world, in this system that he's left us as a follower of Jesus Christ. I think way too often we're just a little bit ashamed. We're just a little bit scared. We're just a little bit, it just seems so crazy sometimes. You know, the advancement in science and advancement in technology and how the world has changed, it just seems a little out of touch sometimes to believe that God came and took on a man's form in a human body and went to the cross and died, and through his death on the cross, my sins have been forgiven. And when I die and I leave this life, I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. That just sounds a little bit strange in this postmodern era that I live in. Don't respond outwardly, but if that's something that you struggle with, come to terms with what Jesus is preparing us for. He's telling disciples before this ever happened, walk the walk. And it means walking in confidence as to who you are. Confidence of who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ, if in fact you are his follower. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. You know what? This is not personal. We got to get that into our heads. When you share your faith with somebody and they reject you, it is not personal. It is not about you, and it is not about me. It feels that way, doesn't it? you don't get the job, your neighbor doesn't want to talk to you more, or they start throwing things over your fence, or all these different things happen to you because you share your love for Jesus Christ. Jesus says, guys, it's not personal. It really is not about you. It's about me. The real issue is Jesus Christ, who he is, his claims, his words, his life, and what he did on the cross. Jesus told us that he was going to divide people. Do you realize that? He said, I'll divide families even against each other, father against son, and so forth, because one person will say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and others will say, no, he's not, and they'll reject it. That's the hard truth. But it's not about us. It's about him. Walk in the confidence of who you are. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you belong. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Walk in confidence as to who you are. Secondly, this walk is not only walking in confidence, but it's walking in obedience to the one that you follow. You want just a simple description, a simple phrase, a simple understanding of what it means to follow Christ. It's one word. It's obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Remember last week, Jeff said, you're my friend if you obey me. I loved his little thing. You know, try that out with your friends at work. You know, if you're really my friend, Gary, obey me. You know, it doesn't work that way in our human relationships, but it does in our relationship with God. This walk that we're called to walk is a walk of obedience to the one that we follow. He says, they hated me first. Some will reject your teaching because they rejected my teaching. Some will follow your teaching because they followed my teaching. There's a pattern here. Jesus came, he lived, he went to the cross, he rose from the dead, he ascended to the Father. Now he says, you as my followers, you follow in that life. Matt quoted this morning from Timothy, if you live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Who was persecuted first? Jesus was. This walk, it's a life of service and sacrifice, and the sacrifice is walking the walk, and it's a walk of confidence. It's a walk of confidence as to who we are, who we belong to, who has chosen us, who has rescued us. It's also a walk of obedience, and you cannot sacrifice your obedience to avoid persecution. You know what I mean by that? In so many subtle ways, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we cannot sacrifice our obedience for the sake of persecution or to avoid persecution. It goes like this. I'll just keep my mouth shut. These people are ragging on the boss. They're ragging on another coworker. I'm just going to go get a cup of coffee. People are telling a dirty joke. They're telling an off-color joke, an offensive, funny joke. They're sharing something from a movie that they saw that's offensive and it's wrong. And I won't laugh. I won't take part. I kind of want to hear what it's about. And it happens almost daily for us where we're faced with opportunities to either obey and pay the consequence or sacrifice obedience and avoid the persecution. And friends, Jesus tells us right up front, you got to walk the walk. It's going to be sacrificial. Period. It's going to be. Don't sacrifice your obedience to avoid persecution. It's a walk of obedience. And the last principle of this walk is it's a walk of persistence. It's a walk of persistence when faced with rejection. It's a walk of persistence. I mean by that we just have to keep walking. You keep persisting. Did you catch the testimony of Jesus? When he said, these guys weren't guilty of sin until basically I came and I showed them these things and I said these things and now they're guilty of sin. Wait a minute. I thought all have fallen short of I thought everybody was a sinner. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah? Everyone born is a sinner. So what does he mean they weren't guilty of sin and now they're guilty of sin? He's referring specifically to their rejection of him. Do you remember what they finally concluded? That Jesus was doing his miracles through the power of, say it out loud if you know it, Satan, demons, right? They had to finally acknowledge that he was doing things that other people couldn't do, but their conclusion was that he was doing this through the power of Satan. And do you remember what the response to that was? There is only one unforgivable sin. And you know what that unforgivable sin is? Is rejecting Jesus Christ as the perfect representation of God come to earth to reveal himself to us. And calling him anything else. Call him a good man. Call him a good teacher. Call him a prophet. Call him a man who does great things through the power of Satan. And you have rejected Jesus Christ. And Hebrews tells us that when we've done that, there's no hope left. You got nothing left. You got nowhere else to turn. You have no other way to be right with God, the one who made you, except through Jesus Christ. And so he says, you know what? They stand very guilty. They saw these things. They heard me. I interacted with them, as Matt and I talk about. They dialogued with him. And yet they rejected him. So what does that have to do with us in our walk today? It's this truth, friends. You walk with God, and you walk the walk, and you live the truth, and you speak it consistently. And you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a large number or a percentage of people that still reject it and reject you. Now, it's important that we come to terms with that, because that can be kind of a rock your world moment where I did what I was supposed to do, and I shared the gospel with them, and this person I've loved, and I've shown them consistently who God is, and we talk about it at lunch, and I've shared the gospel with them, we've gone through the scriptures together, and they still don't believe it. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? I'm just not going to witness anymore. I'm just not going to live so openly my walk, because it doesn't work. Jesus walked the walk perfectly, and a significant number of people that interacted with him face to face rejected him and attributed his miraculous powers to the work of Satan. It's a walk of persistence. Jesus says, follow me. It will be a life of sacrifice, and it will be a life of service. The walk, the sacrifice that you have to make is you got to walk the walk, and you will be persecuted. It will cost you. You have to lay aside things to do it, but you got to walk the walk. It's a walk of confidence, it's a walk of obedience, and it's a walk of persistence. You keep walking the walk. Jesus kept walking the walk, and where did it take him? To the cross. But then it took him to the tomb, and then it took him to life and back to his full glory in the presence of the Father. Make sure you read the end of the story. Make sure you see the end of the story. Don't be living in the moment. You know, we watch these shows on TV, and they love doing the cliffhanger thing. You know, it's like, oh, what's going to happen in my favorite actor? You know, will they live? Will they die? And I've never watched it, but I heard 24, you know, a show like that. You're like, just so nail-biting. And watch to the end of the story. Yeah, we're going to be persecuted if we choose to follow Christ. It's going to be hard. And it's going to require sacrifice. And it will take us to the cross. And it will take us to the tomb, the empty tomb. And it will take us to new life in Jesus Christ and eternity with God the Father and Jesus himself in heaven. Walk the walk. Number two, talk the talk. He says you have to walk the walk, this life of sacrifice and service, and you have to talk the talk. Look at verse 26. If you can put yourself in the shoes of these disciples, and I have this video, I've shown parts of it, and we'll probably see a few more parts. I love watching it because it's, you know, these actors, but they portray, you know, the emotions of people. And at this part through this video, the Gospel of John, he keeps saying, I'm going away, and this is going to happen, and you're going to be hated, the world's going to hate you. And these guys are just like, What is he doing? What is he talking about? This isn't what we signed up for, and I'm not sure what he means. And a lot of it is just kind of this bummer, this hard stuff to hear. But as we saw last week in John 15, the abiding principle and the fruit, he gives them another one, because spiced through all these challenges that he says the followers are going to face, same for us today, or what we read here in verse 26. When the counselor comes. I don't know if they'd ever heard that term before, what it meant. That when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, he will testify about me. Let me read that verse again, because I want you to notice something else here. When the Counselor comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You know what that verse is good for? What do we see there in that verse? A very deep doctrinal truth. The Trinity. Do you see the Trinity at work there? Do you see the partnership? Do you see the oneness and yet the various manifestations of God in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you see it? This partnership that's working together. When the Counselor comes, this is all planned. Before the foundations of the earth were laid in place. This is all in God's mind and in His desire and His dreams, His will of what He's going to do. And Jesus says it's happening now. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. We got to talk the talk. Now, I know from experience and I know from countless conversations with people, maybe the number one objection to really speaking out about Jesus Christ is this: I don't know what to say. I don't have a real strong command of all the scriptures, all the passages, and so I just really don't want to blow it. I don't want to mislead somebody. I don't know what to say. There's a very, very, very important principle here that we have to capture if we're going to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. You don't have to know what to say. Because who's going to tell you what to say? You want to be responsible for deciding what to say to somebody? Or would you rather allow the Holy Spirit to do that for you? Think about it. I've been in those situations that someone is sharing their life, and I'm, this person needs to know Jesus Christ. They need to know His forgiveness. They need to know His love. And so what promise of God, or what verse, Romans 10, maybe that, or maybe John 3:16, maybe that, and I'm trying to frantically come up with what I should say. And if I would just sit still and listen and be quiet, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit was coming, and He has come, and He lives inside of me. And He would testify, He would tell me exactly what to say. What is His name here? What is the Holy Spirit's name here in this passage? The Spirit of truth. You got to talk the talk, but do it in the power that the Holy Spirit gives you. He empowers us to do it. Don't go out on your own and try to be eloquent. Don't try to be a Billy Graham or a Luis Palau or a Greg Laurie or some person who's used to being up in front of 20,000 people. And man, they just knock them dead. They hit the home run every time. You don't have to be that. You know what the follower of Jesus has to be? The follower of Jesus has to be someone listening to the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God was sent specifically as the Spirit of truth to tell us what to say. Isn't that what it says? When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. He will tell you, He will teach you everything you need to know. Read on. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. It's been said like this: just say what you know about who you know. That's a pretty good paraphrase of what Jesus just said right there. You must testify, you must speak for me because you know me. You 12 particularly have been with me from the beginning. You share what you know. You testify about what you know. Now, you know, this word testify here is martyreo. Sound like any other word, any English word we might be familiar with? What? Martyr. Now, how did that happen? How did a word that means to proclaim, to testify, be translated into our language, English, as someone who is killed for what they believe? The way it happened was, in the first couple of centuries, it was so common for someone to speak out publicly about their faith in Jesus Christ and to then be executed that connotation stuck. To where eventually martyreo, to testify, to speak publicly, had this baggage, if you will, connected to it, that if you speak out publicly and it's about Jesus, you're very likely to die. And interesting. He says, you must testify. You must speak out about me. You must tell what you know, regardless of what it's going to cost you. Now, none of us at this point, in this country at least, have to be afraid of losing our life, right? I don't know anybody in here that I know has been murdered. You're still here, so I guess that's true. It's possible to be beat up. It's possible to be verbally assaulted. It's possible to lose your job. It's possible to be rejected. It's possible to be hated and to thought poorly of because of our willingness to testify, to speak, to talk the talk. Right? That is possible. What does Jesus say? He says, do it. How does he say it? You. What does it say in your Bible? You. Say loud. Look at it. Or if it's behind the screen, look up there. I mean, behind me on the screen. You testify. What's before testify? Must. Must. This is not an option for the follower of Jesus. You know what? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to not do certain things. I'm going to give, because God's called me to do that. And I'm going to maybe even serve in a ministry. But it's just going to be kind of what I call the camouflage Christian. I'm a camouflage Christian. Because out at the job, or in the school, or in my neighborhood, or at the store, or with my buddies, it's a little bit costly to open my mouth and say, I love Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him alone. He is my future, and I want to please Him. I want to love Him. I want to serve Him. I want to discover more about who He is, and I want everybody to know about Him. What? What is wrong with you? That's costly. And so I'm just going to be the camouflage Christian and do it in certain situations. Sunday morning is safe, maybe Wednesday night. Hopefully in your life group it's safe. But Jesus makes it very clear. To talk the talk, you must do it. You must do it. And He's already set the context that it's going to bring rejection and hatred at points. He's not telling us to do it if it's easy or if it's convenient. He's saying you must do it. All this I have told you, chapter 16, verse 1. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. This word astray here is really interesting. It's the word that we get scandal from, or scandalous. It's the word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he's speaking of the scandal of the cross. That to some it's foolishness, and to others it's just stupid. The Greeks want to have a sign, and the Jews want to have a sign, and the Greeks want to debate about it. They want to argue about it. He says, honestly, I'll tell you right up front. I'll tell you straight up. In the year 2010, in that very modern era, with all the technology and all the information and communication ability you have, the idea that God would become a man, He would come to earth, be born to a woman who didn't have a relationship with a man, it was through the Holy Spirit, and grew up and taught and went to the cross and died on the cross and was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead because He's God, and He lived for another 40, 50 days, whatever time frame, and then ascended to the right hand of God, and He's there as our Savior. That's going to be seen as a little bit foolish. Scandalous. Another way it's translated is a stumbling block. Something you trip over and you fall. Jesus tells us up front, He says, I've told you this before so that you will not be scandalized. You will not be tripped up and fall over the response, the reaction that you find when you live this way. You go, oh my goodness, this is too much. The price is too high. Because I want you to know straight up what it's going to cost you, what it's going to be like. They will put you out of the synagogue. It's going to happen, guys. In fact, a time is coming historically when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Do we know the name of somebody that actually believed that historically? Paul. It happened just a very short time after Jesus spoke these words. Paul, in his zealousness, in his enthusiasm, sincerely believed that he was serving God by killing the followers of the way, the followers of Jesus. Jesus was executed for blasphemy, claiming to be God. And now Paul was going to eradicate the remainder of his followers. And he believed he was serving God. There is a time coming when anyone who kills you thinks he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. Did I not tell you this? I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. But guys, I'm leaving. I'm getting ready to go to the cross. He's leaving. And He wants them to know before it happens. Following me is going to be a life of sacrifice and service. You got the sacrifice I'm asking of you is you walk the walk. You walk like I do. You live like me. You follow in my footsteps and face what it brings. And then the service that I'm asking of you is talk the talk. I've been here. I've testified to who I am and who sent me. The Holy Spirit will come and He'll live in you and help you do it. But He said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. You will be the light and you will be the salt. Speak, testify, talk the talk. And know that it will not be easy. Know that it will be costly. But this, my friends, is the life of following Jesus Christ. This is the life of following Jesus Christ. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Praise God that He tells us this ahead of time. His intent here is to prepare us for it. What do I do? I didn't expect this. I thought people would respond positively. I thought it would be easier. He says, no. It's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging. But go back to chapter first part of chapter 15. Remember, this is all in the same conversation. We do it week by week, right? So it feels a little bit differently. Literally minutes before they hear this, they're hearing Him say, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, and I love you, and the Father loves me, loves you, and you will bear much fruit. And this is what pleases God. Right? Fruit that lasts. If that's what you want your life to be about, then we have to walk the walk and we have to talk the talk. And we can. We can. We can in the power of the Holy Spirit that He has promised. We'll learn more about that next week in the Spirit and what He wants to do in us. But friends, know this. We walk out these doors and we walk into the world that He's placed us in. Let me say this and we'll close in prayer. You and I, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you no longer belong to this world. So stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to not make waves. Because if what Jesus said is true, I don't belong here anymore. My values are different. My priorities are different. My pursuits should be different. My speech should be different. My actions should be different. And in doing that, it will put a target on me. I will look different. If I look like so much like the world that I'm kind of fitting in, and oh God, convict me that I'm not walking the walk and I'm not talking the talk. It's not purposely to be persecuted. It's purposely to obey Christ. We don't belong in this world anymore, this system, this world. So stop trying to fit in. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Let's bow together in prayer and I'll invite the worship team to come. Father, it is Your love and it is Your grace that has reached into our lives, into our hearts, and revealed Yourself to us. And so I pray that You'll help us, You'll just grab a hold of us and stir us, shake us, so that we respond this morning to that love and to that grace. Help us to walk the walk that You have laid before us, the path. Forgive us for taking for granted the freedom that we've had, and we praise You this morning for the freedom even just to be here. And the government hasn't told us to stop. We can come here, we can gather, we can sing, we can hear Your word, we can read our Bibles in our homes, and we have the freedom to do that. But God, I confess to You our sin of allowing that freedom to cause us to be complacent and lazy and just take for granted that freedom. God, forgive us for that. Give us the courage and the faith in You and in Your promises to walk the walk, whatever the cost might be, and that we would talk the talk, that we would testify about our Savior, Jesus Christ, who He is, why He came, and what He offers this world. God, I pray for each person that is here this morning that has made this decision to walk the walk and talk the talk, and I pray that as they face the results of that decision, as they live it out through this week, that You would in fact bring fruit into them and through them that lasts, because they're abiding in You. They're connecting to You, and the Spirit of God is producing that fruit. I pray that they would see that, and they would know that that is good, and that it's fruit that lasts. Father, we love You, and we want to be faithful to what You've called us to be and to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.